Joseph this morning. Our overview tells us Joseph played a pivotal role in the history of the Hebrew people. Through many circumstances that were certainly not comfortable for him, God brought Joseph from the status of a favored son through slavery and unjust imprisonment to a place of prominence in a foreign country. When famine came to the land of Canaan, Joseph in Egypt became the savior of his family. All of us face discouraging circumstances in our lives. Everybody said, amen. We've all been there. The important thing is not so much what happens to us, but rather how we deal with them. You know, learning to react properly to the things is a lot of what the lesson, and all of these lessons really have been about. How we deal with the circumstances, the unfortunate things that come up in our lives. In Joseph, we see a wonderful example of a man who remained faithful through his trials, and he was rewarded by God with great usefulness and blessing. As I mentioned last week, and certainly will next week too, the faithfulness is really, if we just come away locked in our mind the idea of being faithful, it's going to go a long way the rest of our lives, no matter how old we are. And we certainly pray that for those kids that were here this week, for sure. We're going to be in Genesis 50. First have some announcement, but at first, especially the people here, just kind of an informal poll. Next week, we'll be meeting at the same time and everything. As I was looking forward to the next lesson we're going to do, it looks like it's even going to be shorter. And as you know, we've been getting out at 10 o'clock rather than 10:15 anyway. So what would you think if we move the start time to 9:30? Get 15 more minutes of sleep?
Yes.
You got anybody against that that love getting up and getting here? I will still probably, it looks to me, no problem finishing at 10, even if it started at 9:30, you know, maybe 10:05. We used to always go to 10:15, even 10:20. And I just talked to the pastor this morning, and the rest of the pastors will talk because it affects the teens and everything. But so I just, you know, not promising anything, but that's on the table. And we're thinking that maybe try to make it permanent. You know, 9:15 is kind of a weird time to start anyway. You kind of tend to think in half hours, at least I do. So anyway, let me know if you're extremely in favor of it or not in favor of it all. Either way, just let me know so when we pastors talk, I'm getting more thumbs up than anything, but don't be bashful and say, no, can't we start at 7 a.m.? You know, let me know. We actually had one lady say, hey, why don't you just keep preaching till 2 o'clock? And, you know, a few people might like that, but anyway. So just, you know, if you're ambivalent, you don't need to share or whatever. But if you have a strong feeling, let me know. Okay. This week, we have several big dates. We have an anniversary coming up Monday. Bill and Brandy Horn. Their anniversary is Monday. I think they've been vacationing, but if you see Bill or Brandy around, wish them a happy anniversary this week. And several birthdays. Tammy Piazza usually sits over here. It's Tuesday. I know she's out of state traveling, taking an extended vacation, but she might be watching online, so somebody's pointing. But
she'll be here
today. Okay, she does. So happy birthday to Tammy. Then David Inman on Wednesday is 7. Hallie Bauer, she's at school but has come back to visit, is also Wednesday. And Ryan Peterson. So all of their birthdays are Wednesday. David Inman, Hallie Bauer, Ryan Peterson. Thursday is Brother Ken Tapley. So we see Ken around. Wish Ken a happy birthday on Thursday. Friday is Boaz Godfrey, another 16-year-old that we've seen grow up here in the church. So Boaz is 16. And then Nancy Honer on Friday. Happy birthday to Nancy, faithful back there. Should have seen her. She was scrambling and working hard during the VBS week, so appreciate her. And then Saturday is Louis Nonini's birthday on Saturday. So a lot of names to remember to wish happy birthday as you see him, but just think of them this week for their birthdays. All right. So You know you're in trouble during the lesson. At least maybe it's just me, but when the best song to sing is Trust and Obey. Amen? So Nancy and Scott are come. Stand up and sing Trust and Obey with his mom. Stand up at home as well, and let's sing Trust and Obey. Sing it like you mean it. I hope you do.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a symbol of cross, but a symbol of loss, but is blessed with we trust and obey. Here we go. Trust and obey, for there's no but to trust and obey on the last. Then in fellowship sweet, sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He says we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Let's sing it to Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise Jesus.
All right, if you'd remain standing for the reading of Scripture, then we'll pray and be seated. Then our text this morning is out of Genesis chapter 50. And it's verses 17 through 21. It is there on your worksheet if you have that as well. It says, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Let's pray. Father God, we again thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, the great challenges that it does give to us, but just such great truth and examples. And certainly we thank you for the example of Joseph this morning and just how he shows us how to live like you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that. As we look at the life of Joseph this morning, Lord, help us to see how he remained faithful through each trial. Lord, then help us to decide to remain faithful to you and to the Lord Jesus, no matter what adverse circumstances. life may bring us. So thank you for each one that came this morning and then tuned in on the live stream. We pray that you would speak just individually to our hearts the message you'd have us to hear as we look more into the story of Joseph and your word this morning. Bless our time together, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. All right. So Joseph, the subtitle, Living Like Jesus. You know, it seems almost every year you say, okay, we've heard the story of Joseph. And I would say two or three times a year, it seems like we end up talking about Joseph. Well, and there's a really good reason for that. In all the annals of Scripture, there's probably no greater type of the Lord Jesus than Joseph. His example, used over and over, it's one that we have no recorded sin of Joseph. Well, we know he was born human and he was a sinner, but everything about him in the Bible is kind of positive and talks of his faithfulness. So we're not saying he was sinless, but just as far as examples that are given us, that was the case. The life of Joseph speaks to believers in a wide variety of walks of life. It's not just to the rulers, it's not just to the slaves, it speaks to everybody. Because wherever he was always found faithful. No matter what befell him or happened or what was going on, he was found faithful. Well, so number one, we see he was faithful as a son. He was faithful as a son. It all started with Israel, formerly named Jacob, and Rachel. It was with his parents that Joseph began his preparation and training, that ultimately allowed him to save both his own family and his people, that faithfulness. You know, we just had Father's Day a few weeks ago, and, you know, if you were here or tuned in, you saw all those statistics, you know, just how bad the families without fathers and how the kids turn out, and, you know, one of the reasons we get so excited about VBS and reaching out to them. Well, there's a poem in the lesson this morning. The author's unknown, but it's called Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. So I'm going to read that to you this morning. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are so hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. So a touching poem and one to really kind of make us think, you know, just about being a dad and all those things. Wednesday night, my message is going to be about consistency, you know, and hopefully a good consistency, you know. But it's just so important to have that. There are some fathers here in the lesson, the sons of Robert E. Lee. You all know about the great general of the Confederate Army. Well, George Washington Custis Lee, Custis was what they called him, lived from 1832 to 1913. He graduated first in his class at West Point in 1854. He served as a major general in the Confederate Army and aide-de-camp to President Jefferson Davis. William Henry Fitzhugh Lee, 1837 to 1891, served as major general in the Confederate Army in the cavalry and was severely wounded in a battle at Culpeper, Virginia. Robert Edward Lee, Jr., from 1843 to 1914, served as captain in the Confederate Army with the Rockbridge Artillery. Well, it's, you know, just fun sons following after the father. your footsteps. Well, then we had, as an example, the sons of Theodore Roosevelt. After the United States entered World War I in 1917, former President Theodore Roosevelt asked the current president, Woodrow Wilson, for permission to raise a division of troops to fight in France. Wilson refused his request, forbidden to go himself. Roosevelt felt supreme satisfaction in the going of all of his four sons. They wouldn't let him go, but all four of his sons went. They did honor to the Roosevelt name. Theodore Jr. became a lieutenant colonel. Kermit and Archibald became captains, and Quentin, the youngest, a lieutenant of aviation, and he was killed in an air battle. Theodore Roosevelt Jr., for his service in World War I, he won the Silver Star and the Distinguished Service Cross, a Brigadier General during World War II. He won the Medal of Honor for his actions on D-Day. When he led troops ashore at Utah Beach in France, then he died of a heart attack in France on July 12, 1944. So again, just amazing lives kind of came down. Excuse me, I gotta grab a Kleenex here. I'm just talking too much or something. Anyway, like these men, we see that Joseph was loved by his father. You can imagine that those fathers were proud of them, and Joseph had a father that was proud of him and loved him. In fact, there on the worksheet, Genesis 37:3 tells us, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." Well, you know, if you've been around much for you talking, you know, I've quoted Matthew 3:17 quite a lot myself. And I say, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And it is exciting to, you know, we all love our kids, right? But it's also nice to be well pleased with them. And I understand that's a blessing. Not everybody can say, "Yeah, I love my son, but this and this." Or, you know, "Love my daughter, but, you know." So it's just truly a blessing to have that. And I know Pastor Josh feels the same way about Hugo. You know, just so pleased with that. And it is quite a blessing. So I just thought, I get the, you got all those other fun, famous fathers, I get to brag a little bit about my kids. Well, it's well known that Joseph was his father's favorite. And I think, you know, it's easy for me to say Josh is my favorite son, because he's my only one. You know, didn't have to pick between any of that, so that's good. It's imperative for believers today to know that God not only loves the world as a whole, but he loves us individually. That is so important. You know, and that was one of the themes of our VBS. Jesus loves you. You know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and he loves you no matter what else. And it's just so important to realize that, no matter how our earthly fathers might have been, that we have a loving heavenly father for sure. God wants to do special things for each and every one of us as well. Just as Joseph was loved by his earthly father, we too are loved by our heavenly father. He truly cares and loves us. But Joseph was also hated by his brothers. You know, it's one thing to live in a family where your father loves you, but, you know, then they have that contention. And you see so much of that today, especially with the blended families. And, you know, their family was certainly blended. And that had a lot to do, I think, with this, because he was hated by his brothers and half-brothers. Genesis 37:4 on the worksheet. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." They wouldn't even speak kindly to him at all, or just grant him anything. They hated him that much, just because he was favored. You know, and again, we see that a lot, I'm afraid, in families today. Joseph had a great burden in his life, and that was his unpleasant relationship with his brothers. Jealousy was their problem. They were jealous, just as it is in many families today. You know, I think my brother, I was 3 years younger, kind of followed him through school. Maybe you've had this experience on one end. And, you know, going through that, and the teachers, you know, oh, you're Steve's brother. Or, you know, you're kind of known as Steve's brother. Well, he finally left home and went to school. And I think I shared before, I got to make a little bit of a name in, you know, myself. I was in the top of the class, and I had a pretty successful basketball. So he'd come home and maybe come to my basketball game. And it was kind of fun to say, oh, you're Don's brother. And I thought, okay, that's pretty good, you know. And I remember him reacting to that. He goes, you used to be my little brother, you know. And so that's kind of, and then so we experienced that here at church. You know, growing up and everything. Oh, Josh is your son, you know, or Josh, you know. So you're Don's son, right? Come to church and it goes, oh, you're Josh's grandfather, grandfather. You're Josh's dad, you know. Feel like grandfather. But you know, roles change. And yeah, it's easy maybe to resent that and get jealous about that. How much better just to act in pride? Say, yeah, that's kind of neat that I'm all of a sudden known as, you know, Josh's dad. I don't mind that at all. And it's a good thing because, you know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah. And it's funny, though, how those roles can change and how we adapt to them, like we said earlier. It's how you respond to those things that happen. The Word of God says that his brothers hated Joseph to the point that they could not speak even peaceably to him. Well, it's a beautiful picture for believers today to realize that while many will not accept us or be happy with us, our Father in heaven still loves us and can still use us. You know, it's kind of like, doesn't matter what people really, as long as we know God wants to use us and that he loves us. That's a good message for us this morning. Then, through the love and the hate, the situations, Joseph was let her see he was obedient to his call. No matter what he was going through, he was obedient. Hence the trust and obey. There on the worksheet, Genesis 37:14. And he, Joseph's father's Israel, said to him, go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Well, you know, his father had to notice that his brothers didn't like him very much, but he sent him out anyway. You know, he kind of might question that decision, but, you know, there was work to be done on those family farms, and so he sent Joseph out. And one of the great lessons of Joseph's life was that he obeyed his father even when the commands could not have been comfortable or enjoyable. You know, he didn't expect it, I'm sure, that it was just going to go peaceably. Why would he even think it could? But he obeyed anyway. His father sent him to his brothers, who, as we've already learned, hated him. Joseph simply obeyed. Our Heavenly Father has sent us to evangelize a world and sometimes hates us. And hardly sometimes, always seems to hate us. But yet, the Word tells us to go and spread the gospel and create disciples. It's simply our job to obey. It's just like Joseph. Pretty simple instruction. Just go do this. Our job is to obey. And I think that growing phase with Joseph helped him to prepare for the rest of his life as it came up. Because number two, we see Joseph was faithful as a servant. He was faithful as a servant. Joseph's brothers wanted to get rid of him. Through a series of circumstances, Joseph was sold as a slave and taken to Egypt. He had been faithful as a son, and it seemed that all it brought him was persecution. Now he would prove that he would be faithful in the role of a servant as well. There's always a job for those who are willing to serve. You know, we'll find something for you to do. We found something for 70 volunteers to do during VBS week. You know, there's something to do. We just want to be a servant. It is said about our Savior that he came not to be ministered unto, but minister and to give his life. Mark 10:45. He came not to rule, but to serve others and minister to others. Everywhere Joseph went, he was willing to serve. His willingness to serve brought him into leadership and ultimately opportunity. It's very important to note that God raises up and God puts down. You know, times we can get jealous about maybe a coworker that got a promotion over us, or you know, or whatever might go on. And you know, but really it's God that controls what's going on. You know, and he might not pull all the strings we want him to pull, but we can react, and how we act serve his purpose, and show humility, whatever it might be that he's trying to teach us individually. He can use it. In Potiphar's house, in the prison, we see that it's clearly stated that the Lord was with Joseph. No matter the circumstance, it says the Lord is with him. Remember that Matthew 23:11 tells us, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know, that's, remember he told the disciples that in Matthew, and the greatest shall be your servant. When we reach heaven, it won't matter what our title was, what our position was, our social or economic standing, what that was here on earth. Our Lord's highest praise will be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25:21-3. That's really what we want to hear when we get to heaven. Amen. You know, you've been faithful. You know, in a thank you from the Lord. I can't imagine we're going to feel deserving of it. You know, but we made it, and we were faithful enough to accept his word and get there. And what a joy that's going to be. He's not going to say, you know, "Well, you were a good mechanic, you were a good carpenter, you were a good accountant, Don. Well done." You know, that's not what he's interested in. He's interested in our heart for him. Well, then we see that Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's house. Letter A, Potiphar's house. Joseph became a servant in the house of Potiphar, who was a prominent man in Egypt, who was an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. Potiphar saw Joseph's faithfulness and grew to trust him implicitly. Just to watching him and observing him and giving him things to do, he learned to trust him. You know, you got to earn trust a lot of times, you know, and we're trying to earn trust of God, I'm sure. Genesis 39:4. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand." Wow. Just kind of opened up his plantation, if you will. Say, "Joseph, take care of it. You prove yourself faithful and trustworthy. I trust you to take care of all my stuff." Such trust is a valuable gift, and it should never be taken lightly. You know, sometimes, and we all hear stories of somebody betraying a trust or taking advantage of it. And we as Christians, we just need to guard against that, like Joseph did. You know, just kind of, it only takes a second to break a trust. Might take a lifetime to build it up, but boy, I've seen some destroyed quickly. You know, maybe not even necessarily appropriately, but it happens. People can learn, or they decide to quit trusting you pretty quickly, even though you may have been trustworthy for years. We need to safeguard that. It's a valuable gift. Don't take it lightly if you're trusted. Proverbs 22:1 there on your worksheet says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Wow, it's quite the comparison. Better to have a good name out there, a trusting name, and one that people value, and than all the money you could have or whatever might be going on. So it's better to have a good name. It's one thing we can do and work towards, is having that good name. In the first of several uncomfortable positions, Joseph was willing to serve. There is no doubt that a cantankerous, lazy man would not have been made overseer of Potiphar's house. You know, you don't raise up the sluggard to take care of all your farm and your animals, right? You want the kid that's out there working and shoveling the hay and doing the work. That's who you're going to trust to do that with. Joseph did not grow bitter at his terrible situation. He decided to serve faithfully and diligently. Two good words that go together, faithfully and diligently. Well, and then he was also faithful in Pharaoh's prison. Okay, not only in his household, but then his prison. You know the story. Potiphar's wife also appreciated Joseph, but for a different and unsavory reason. She tried to seduce him, but Joseph refused her and said, quote, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Not only against Potiphar, he recognizes it to be against God. Genesis 39. She wouldn't give up. Kept after him. And finally, one day, when they were all alone, she physically grabbed him. He was forced to run away, leaving his garment in her hand. She looked at it and saw her opportunity to get even. She wanted to get back at him for turning her down. She claimed he had tried to rape her and got him thrown into prison. So again, Joseph was in trouble through no fault of his own. Wow, I know we've all been there. You know, don't remember, didn't do a thing, but all of a sudden I'm in trouble for it. You know, and or somebody saying something or telling lies about us. And, you know, people that'll listen to that, you know, causes us trouble. But look at Joseph's reaction. How would he react? This time he was faithful as a prisoner. And so faithful, he was virtually put in charge of the prison. Pretty incredible when you think of that. The story's there, Genesis 39, 21 and 2. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Wow. You know, you can imagine those other prisoners say, "Hey, you got the keys, let us out." You know, but he was trustworthy. He's going to do what he was told to do. You know, they could have had a great prison break, I'm sure. But Joseph wouldn't have it. You know, the others probably deserved to be there. We can at least assume at least most of them. But Joseph didn't. But he did what he should do. Being lied about and mistreated did not stop Joseph from receiving God's favor or from serving his Lord. Admittedly, being lied about can be very painful. We've talked about that. And even Josh had the one whole lesson about, you know, lies that do that. But a faithful Christian must learn to accept mistreatment. You think through history, a lot of them got really mistreated. You know, nothing compared to us being lied about when they're burned at the stake and lit up like candles and the mistreatment over the history. They must learn to accept unfairness and misunderstanding. We've certainly seen that in all the Christians today, even in our country, you know, some of the mistreatment and misunderstanding for sure. They can't understand why we believe all the fairy tales. And that causes some grief for sure. But we can expect it. We're told to expect it. Three verses there on your worksheet, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? God forbid, nothing can separate us. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Sorry, folks. We're promised we shall suffer, you know, and if we live godly in Christ. You know, if we're not suffering for Jesus, we're probably not doing what we should be doing. Amen. Something to think about. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love that. We know how it ends. Don't let anything else steal our joy. You know, we might get uncomfortable, we might be lied about, but we know what's going to happen in the end, and that we're going to be on the right side of that, something to be joyful over. Well, Joseph was also faithful to the people of Egypt. He's faithful to the people of Egypt. After being marooned in prison for years, Joseph remained faithful and ultimately was made prime minister over the entire country of Egypt. He had been given the opportunity to show Pharaoh that he had true wisdom from God. And Pharaoh knew that Joseph was the man to help him rule his nation. Wow. Hard to believe. from the cellar of prison to second in command in all of Egypt. Genesis 41, 38 through 44 there tells the story. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Wow. He was the only one. He kept his own spot above Joseph, but Joseph was right there next. Verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, "Bow the knee," and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Hard to describe how much power was given to Joseph after all that he had gone through. Pretty incredible when you think on his story. And just mainly from remaining faithful and obedient to what God would have him do. Joseph had a lot of ups and downs in his life. And his father favored son to a slave in a foreign land, from a trusted servant to a disgraced prisoner in a prison trustee, now to second in command of the entire nation of Egypt. To Joseph, this was another opportunity to serve. Number two, but you know, he took that as an opportunity to serve his people. God's ways are not our ways. And I'll say amen to that. God's timing is not always our timing. And we know we can relate to that. His timing can often be quite different than our own or what we might wish, but his timing and his ways are not ours. But as the psalmist urged us, we sometimes need to simply wait on the Lord. There on your worksheet, Psalm 27:14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So if you think, why am I waiting, Lord? You just think, he must be strengthening my heart. You know, my heart must need strengthening. If he's not giving me this right now, I'm going to need that stronger heart down the road. So be strong in him. Wait on his timing. Then number three, we see then that Joseph was faithful as a sovereign. He was a ruler, but he was still faithful. The final stage of Joseph's life was spent as a sovereign. Even in this role, he foreshadowed the coming Messiah. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, he was rejected by his brethren, imprisoned, and mistreated. But after it all, he also emerged victorious. Came through it all victorious. Almost everyone has heard of John Deere, especially in our part of the woods. I know brother is familiar with that. You've seen the name on farm, forestry, construction, and lawn equipment. You don't even need to see the name because you'll probably recognize the familiar green and yellow color scheme. For many years, the advertising slogan was, "Nothing runs like a deer." Well named. I remember that well. But John Deere himself, as a developer of the world's first commercially successful self-scouring steel plow, was his first invention, might have been just another footnote in history instead of one of the world's most famous brand names had it not been for his son Charles. From the John Deere Company website, we have this information. With his education completed, Charles joined the company as a bookkeeper in 1853, at the age of 16,
wow.
Took over bookkeeping. Working his way through a variety of positions, Charles quickly earned a reputation as a keen businessman. This must have delighted John, as it allowed the father and son to both focus on what they did best, Charles handling the business and John attending to the products and sales. By 1858, John had turned over management of the business to Charles, who was just 21 at the time. So took over running the entire company. Wow. Charles Deere was an outstanding businessman who established marketing centers called branch houses to serve the network of independent retail dealers. By the time of Charles Deere's death in 1907, the company was making a wide range of steel plows, cultivators, corn and cotton planters, and other implements. John Deere himself died in 1886, but his legacy lived on in a way he could probably never have imagined. His descendants or their spouses went on to lead the company of John Deere founded over the next 96 years. That's creating a true legacy passed down. Well, sometimes it might be a father-in-law that mentors and brings others. A picture of Pastor Tom and young Pastor Josh, you know, and one of the first actual church building we had, and that this picture appeared in the newspaper of all things. And you know, just the training and the mentorship that he gave Pastor prepared Josh for what would planned happen when Pastor Tom suddenly passed away in 2014, you know, just a little over 8 years ago in June, you know. But Josh was ready to take over the church and guide it just because of some of the upbringing. So it's just good to know that things can be passed on through mentoring and discipling of others. Well, Joseph was a forgiving sovereign, forgiving. In his position of Pharaoh's right-hand man and in charge of the food supply, Joseph one day received some visitors. Famine had come to the land of Canaan, and Israel sent his sons to Egypt because, thanks to Joseph's wisdom and planning, there was corn there. You know, remember the 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine? The brothers did not recognize this regal and imposing figure as the annoying little brother that they thought they had got rid of years before. But Joseph knew them. He had been at their mercy and sought his destruction. Now that they were at his mercy, he had the same opportunity. He had good opportunity to pay him back. I've been waiting years to pay you guys back. Well, if he had sent them away empty-handed, he would be consigning them to death by starvation. But in a beautiful story of mercy and forgiveness, Joseph took them in and met their needs abundantly, basically doubled up anything they might need. Again, from our Genesis 50, verses 17 through 21, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive. I pray thee now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a beautiful example of forgiveness and restoration. Once again, we see a picture of Jesus in the life of Joseph. What do we sinners deserve from God but death and eternal separation? Yet he forgives us, and we can have that. Romans 5, 8 through 10 there on the worksheet tells us, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Saved by the Lord. And Ephesians 4:32 there on the worksheet tells us, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Wow, we receive the ultimate forgiveness. We can forgive others, especially family, as we need to. Joseph was willing to forgive the incredible injustices that had been visited upon him by his hateful brothers. One of the most beautiful lessons in all the pages of Scripture is located there in Genesis 50, verses 19 through 21. where Joseph clearly states that he understood that judgment was of the Lord and that his brothers were not to fear, for he would take care of them. Human logic would have compelled Joseph to use his vast power to distribute to his brothers a just retribution for their mean and evil acts towards him. But Joseph did not conduct himself according to human logic, nor was he a slave to his emotions. And I like that. So often we become slaves to our emotions. We let emotions rule, even though our mind or the word tells us to do something else. We can get too emotional about it. We're not to be slaves to that. Joseph reacted with love, mercy, and true justice. He would allow God to deliver retribution as he saw fit. Joseph would not overstep his authority and take God's job into his own hand. Oh, so often we want to distribute that justice. We need to let God do it. Although the words would not be penned for many centuries, Joseph understood this truth on the worksheet, Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let the Lord take, he's going to take care of it much better than I could have, or that you could. And like Jesus, we see Joseph was a saving sovereign. Saving sovereign. Genesis 50:20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, and is to this day to save much people alive. That's why he came, to save all of us alive. Joseph realized that God had put him into a position to save his family and his people, and he decided that he would accept this responsibility with personal passion and fervent diligence. I like that. Personal passion, fervent diligence. Trust and obey. Like the Lord has for us, Joseph had a place for his family, and he had a plan for them. He would not allow his family to go uncared for, unprotected, and unprovided for. Not only was it Joseph's immediate family who found salvation and blessing, but the nation of Israel itself was strengthened and brought into prominence because of Joseph. God used this man to minister to an entire nation. In our quest to be like our Savior, by whose name we claim our very identity as Christians, it is easy to overlook many to whom God would have us to minister. Sometimes it's easy just to take care of our own and who he might want us to be ministering to. As you look for the return of Christ on the horizon, are you overlooking those to whom he desires you to minister at this moment? We certainly did this past week. We wanted to focus on the kids and minister to them the truth of Jesus. You know, it's nice to take a break of our own concerns and things going on, you know, around us. Let's minister to these kids. Be very cautious that in your impatience for his return, you do not overlook the mission that we have now. Look to others that we can minister to. Faithfulness. If one word would be used to describe the life of Joseph, it would without a doubt be the word faithfulness. We've heard that repeated often several weeks, and especially today, faithfulness. In every situation into which he was plunged, thrown, or placed, Joseph was completely faithful. He was dedicated to his cause and to his testimony and to the testimony of God. How dedicated are we this morning? How dedicated are you? How faithful are we to be to the name of the Lord and to the calling and responsibility he has placed in our lives? In your life, are we responsible? Are we listening to what he has for us? Perhaps it's time you allowed yourself to accept the truth of the life of Joseph as you've never heard them before. Do not be afraid to let them affect you. And sometimes we're a little afraid to change, but if God's word is changing us, that's to be praised and is very worthy. Do not be afraid to let the truths of God's word change who you are. And do not be afraid to stand up and live for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again this morning for the example of Joseph. Truly a faithful man, Lord, that just proved his faithfulness over and over in all kinds of terrible and dire circumstances and situations. Yet he remained faithful, and we see the results of that faithfulness raised unto great position. Lord, we know as Christians we're going to be raised to a great position in heaven alongside you. What a wonderful truth. Oh, Lord, I pray that that would help us to remain faithful and strong for you, to do the work you have given us to do. So we thank you for that. Just bless our time together. Bless the service to come, Lord, especially the kids and the families that might come in and hear again about the value of life and the, just the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I pray that many would respond to that message this morning as we continue through our day. Bless our time together and the time we've had. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, once again, I just want to repeat, do not be afraid to stand up to live for Christ. So with that, you can imagine we're going to sing, Stand Up for Jesus. Amen. And you're dismissed.